Bibles this morning to Galatians chapter 4. We're going to finish our study that we've been doing on spiritual blessings in heavenly places. I know that we usually start by reading Ephesians chapter 1, but I got to a stopping place last week regarding the substance of all of our spiritual blessings. And we looked at the fact that God opened our eyes to see the beauty that's in the cross, that there's great value, eternal value, in the death and burial and resurrection of Jesus Christ. And in time, God enabled us to see that through the power of the new birth. Something so remarkable and revolutionary that God changed us spiritually, gave us a spiritual nature, gave us the ability to repent, have a change of mind about God, about sin, and about our need for Christ. And that very moment gave us the gift of saving faith in Jesus Christ. And I think salvation is a wonderful, glorious thing. But there is a day that you're saved, when you're born of God, that changes you forever. But included in these spiritual blessings that come from heaven down to us, these good and perfect gifts, is something that I think is neglected in our world today, in our religious world, and that is the idea that Christ died for us, and we identify with Him, the cross, the resurrection, each and every day. But the Spirit of God, the Holy Spirit, lives within us and indwells us and enables us to perceive the truth of the Word of God, gives us spiritual discernment, whereas before we had no understanding of spiritual things. The Holy Spirit is living within us. And that's so remarkable, to think that the third person of the Holy Trinity would take up residence in all those that God the Father chose and God the Son died for, that the Spirit would live in us, to be our personal teacher, our comforter, the one who energizes us in spiritual things. How we ought to thank God that included in these spiritual blessings is the person of the Holy Spirit to indwell us and to teach us. Did I tell you Galatians chapter 4 and verse 6? It says, talks about verse 4, it talks about when the fullness of time was come, God sent forth His Son, made of a woman, made under the law, to redeem them that were under the law, that we might receive the adoption of sons. That's Christ's work God sent Him to do. He finished it on the cross. He rose from the dead to affirm it, that it was actually accomplished, and that all that He died for will in time receive the garments of salvation, be brought to faith, and be in glory forever. Notice verse 6. Because ye are sons, and he's talking about the doctrine of adoption. I believe the doctrine of adoption, it's a decree. God decreed to adopt sons and daughters out of Adam's fallen race and put them in His family. And not only put them in His family, but give them the same nature, the spiritual nature that God has. Not that we become gods, but that we receive the Spirit of God, purchased for us by the redeeming work of Christ. And it's why in Romans 8 and verse 9 it says, if any man have not the Spirit of Christ, he is none of his. This is one of the blessings. The spiritual blessings that come down, they're in heavenly places, and we actually get to experience them. It's a powerful truth. It says, and because ye are sons, God has sent forth the Spirit of His Son into your hearts, crying, Abba, Father. He is our Heavenly Father. The Spirit gives us an understanding of that. We have a familial relationship and a spiritual relationship with God because of the indwelling gift of the Holy Spirit, the person of the Holy Spirit, living in God's children. He's the one that enables us to pray. He's the one that enables us to commune with God, to fellowship with God. Christ, our union with Christ is what makes it all possible. The Holy Spirit is the one who makes it experiential, where we actually experience the love of God, the power of God, the communion with God. How special God must think His treasures are to send the third person of the sacred Trinity to live within those vessels of clay. Because in reality, all of us apart from Christ, we're nothing. But through the power of the Holy Spirit, we can rejoice in the things of God even through the most difficult of times. He'll give us the ability, the Spirit will speak for us. Look at Romans chapter 8 and look at verse 26. Likewise, the Spirit also helpeth our infirmities. We have weaknesses and infirmities and failures. It is part of the Christian life. You hear it, people say it all the time, and they just kind of like a throw-off phrase. Nobody's perfect. That's so true. In fact, we're far from it. But God has put His Spirit in us to help our infirmities. For we know not what we should pray for as we ought. You ever been there? You come to an end of yourself, you're trying to pray, and you just don't know exactly what to say. I believe the Spirit of God understands the heart more than we do. And it says, but the Spirit itself maketh intercession for us with groanings which cannot be uttered. And He that searcheth the hearts knoweth what is the mind of the Spirit, because He maketh intercession for the saints according to the will of God. The Holy Spirit lives in us and enlightens us and empowers us. And as He works in us both to will and to do of His good pleasure, He begins to produce spiritual fruit in us that was not there before. And that's one of the evidences that you're a child of God, that you've been changed by the power of God. Look at Galatians chapter 5. When you talk about the fruit of something, it means what's been produced. It says, after he gives a catalog of the lust of the flesh, the things that we naturally have, he gives us a contrast to that condition and that state by saying in verse 22, but the fruit of the Spirit, the things in you that are changed and brought forth are the product of the Holy Spirit living in you. And notice, he doesn't say that. Think about the things that people value in our world. Money, wealth, popularity, prestige. Those are the things that we naturally talk about. Listen to anybody when they start talking about their kids. I rarely ever hear somebody when they start out, the greatest thing that's happened to my son, he's saved. He'd been changed by the power of God. His heart has been changed by the power of the Lord, and he loves the Lord. That's a great way to start. You say, well, that'll kind of put people off. Why? It's a great way to start. You're telling people, this is who I am. This is who my son is. He knows the Lord. I'm glad about that. Now, I know I'm busting your balloon. You want to tell how great your son is and all of that, or his daughter. You can do that too. But let's talk about the most important thing, which is God changing sinners from within. The fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. Against such there is no law, and they that are Christ's have crucified the flesh with the affections and lusts. If we live in the Spirit, let us also walk in the Spirit. Let us not be desirous of vainglory, provoking one another, envying one another. I fall far short in a lot of these areas. But I do know this. God has radically changed my heart and humbled me and made me realize that apart from the Holy Spirit of God and the work of Jesus Christ, I'd have no love or joy or peace. But He works these things in His people. And it ought to cause us great rejoicing. We ought to thank God for the indwelling of the Holy Spirit. The joy of spiritual blessings and liberty come to us and changes us. Look over at 2 Corinthians chapter 3. I know I've probably quoted this one before in this series. This is where real liberty and freedom and joy are bound up in our relationship with God through the indwelling Spirit who sheds abroad the love of God in our hearts. It says, now the Lord is that Spirit. By the way, the Bible makes it so very clear that the Holy Spirit is the third person of the sacred Trinity. He's not merely an influence or an energy. He is a person. We're baptized in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. These three are one. He lives within us to change us. Now, the Lord is that Spirit, and where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty. But we all, with open face, beholding as in a glass the glory of the Lord, are changed into the same image from glory to glory, even as by the Spirit of the Lord. As we commune with God, He changes us. changes us from the inside, our attitudes, our outlook, our affections, our desires. And He's the one really dwelling in us that enables us to get through. He's the one that makes application of the Word when we're going through afflictions and trials and chastenings. It's the Holy Spirit of God who is our comforter. And I think it's why Paul would later write in chapter 4, "For our light affliction, which is but for a moment, worketh for us a far more exceeding and eternal weight of glory." That's so contrary to human rationale. How can these afflictions work for us? By the power of God. He changes us so that we can see the hand of God. Even in the most difficult of times, He's with us to comfort us, to help us, to grow through this. It says, "While we look not at the things which are seen, but at the things which are not seen. For the things which are seen are temporal, but the things which are not seen are eternal." The indwelling of the Holy Spirit gives us hope and faith and enables us to embrace the promises of the Word of God. And you know, it's by the Spirit's work. This Spirit, we enjoy spiritual blessings here and now. We can even sing about it. Turn over to Ephesians chapter 5. Ephesians 5 verse 18. "And be not drunk with wine wherein is excess, but be filled with the Spirit, speaking to yourselves in psalms and hymns," and notice, "spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord, giving thanks always for all things unto God and the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ." He changes us so amazingly from the inside that we can sing psalms of praise to cheer our hearts. I often think of Paul and Silas when they were put in prison and beaten, and they were there at midnight praying, singing. Look over at Colossians chapter 3, very similar passage. Verse 15, Colossians 3, verse 15, "And let the peace of God rule in your hearts, to the which you are called in one body, and be ye thankful. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly in all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with grace in your hearts to the Lord. And whatsoever you do in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God and the Father by Him." He gives us a song, and He also gives us a heart of thanksgiving. Now, my very last point, with some minor points under it. I'm not Pharaoh. I am going to let you go. This is going to be my... I'm finishing up today. All right? Some of you are going... I know sometimes you all think, is he ever going to stop beating this horse? Is he going to actually get through a sermon? Today I am. I'm finishing it up. Think about it. All these spiritual blessings that are ordained of God, that are according to His purpose. Do you think for one moment that any of these spiritual blessings that are freely given could be lost? or stolen? After God has gone to such great lengths to secure them and bring them into our lives, do you think that it's possible that they're insecure? Absolutely not. God has ensured the security of all spiritual blessings in His person, in the eternal Godhead. We are kept by the power of God. 1 Peter chapter 1 and verse 5. We have been bought with the blood of the everlasting covenant. And when Jesus Christ purchased you with His blood, He secured you for all eternity with the blood of the everlasting covenant. The covenant that goes all the way back before time was, before matter was, before space existed. When it was only God in solitude entering into covenant. Now you can't lose that when it is secured with the blood of the everlasting covenant offered by the only begotten, eternally begotten Son of God, Jesus Christ, God manifest in the flesh. And we're sealed by the Holy Spirit of promise. The Bible implies that in Ephesians 4 and verse 30, "And grieve not the Holy Spirit of God, whereby ye are sealed until the day of redemption." What is that day of redemption? It doesn't mean when you're saved. It means when the final portion of redemption is accomplished, when our bodies are changed and redeemed in glorification. Again, it goes back Romans chapter 8, the golden chain of redemption. We studied that a few weeks ago. It's all secured by God. We can rest in Him. "Now unto Him who is able to keep you from falling and to present you faultless before the presence of His glory with exceeding joy, to the only wise God, our Savior, be glory and majesty, dominion and power, both now and ever. Amen." Jude 24 and 25. How glorious is that? You see, you're not the one that worked for any of these spiritual blessings. They came to you freely by the grace of God. And you don't work to keep them. They've been freely given to us. I thought about this. You may think this is just an elementary thought. It probably is. I'm not a deep thinker. I'm not a deep preacher. Man, all I got is what the Bible says. To be honest, I think preachers would be a whole lot better off if they stopped speculating about things. Trying to find some deeper meaning. What the Bible says is what it means. Now, I know that's a simplistic way of looking at it, but I started thinking. You realize you'd have to defeat God Himself to steal away or take away or abolish all of these spiritual blessings? Who's up to that? Satan tried it. He wanted to be like the Most High. God cast him down. And he was the most powerful created being that's ever existed. No, you can't defeat the Lord. And that's who we're trusting in. That's who all these spiritual blessings come from. Jesus purchased for us a glorified body, and one day we're going to be changed into His glorious image. One day all of the fleshly desires of an old nature, this old body of death, is going to be completely done away with. It brings about holy laughter to think about the day when I'll be forever free of the things that weigh me down, shackle me here in this life, because the Bible says, "Behold, I show you a mystery. We shall not all sleep, but we shall all be changed in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trump. For the trumpet shall sound, and the dead in Christ shall be raised incorruptible, and we shall be changed. For this incorruptible shall put on incorruption. For this corruptible must put on incorruption, and this mortal must put on immortality." You know how he ended that chapter of resurrection glory that promises our eternal conformity to the image of Christ? Because that's what glorification is all about. He ends that whole passage, "But thanks be unto God, which giveth us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. Therefore, my beloved brethren," this is my wife's favorite sermon, her favorite sermon title. It was a sugar stick when we were on the deputation. I preach this everywhere. "Therefore, my beloved brethren, be ye steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord. For as much as you know that your labor is not in vain in the Lord." One day, we're going to be changed forever. I've already been changed spiritually. One day, entirely. Now, this is something that very difficult for me to wrap my mind around, because I've lived my whole life dealing with my sins. Dealing with my attitudes when they are bad. Dealing with impure motives, worldliness, sinfulness. That's part of everyday reality. Wretched man that I am. To think that all that's going to be gone, that brings such joy to my heart at the prospect of that. That I will never, ever have another wrong thought. I'll never again say something stupid and wrong and sinful. I'm going to be conformed to the image of Jesus, who is the most wonderful, glorious, holy person in all the world. The Bible says, we shall be like Him. Not just for a day, but through the eternal ages. When you read Ephesians chapter 2, and His exposition of saving grace, He says in verse 6, "Even when we were dead in sins, hath quickened us together with Christ. By grace ye are saved, and hath raised us up together and made us sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus, that in the ages to come the eternal ages. He might show the exceeding riches of His grace and His kindness toward us through Jesus Christ. There's nothing more wonderful than knowing the Lord and being assured that you've been redeemed by His blood, that His Spirit dwells in you, and that one day you're going to be with Him throughout all eternity and be blessed beyond measure. Have faith in God. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved in thy house. Let's all stand.
Page number 8.